Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat. Boom, beat, beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
I'm not going 7-9.
Well, no, you're not. Welcome to the Monday edition of Hale Varsity Radio. Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. That was Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher popped earlier today. Oh, can we play the coaching domino game? I'm rubbing my hands together like I'm trying to light a fire. It is cold in here. I don't know where you're listening, but I hope you're warm and healthy. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine. And great to be with you on a Monday. Mike Babcock, author, historian, Hall of Famer, Heisman voter. Babber's going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Got Coach McBride loaded up for an extensive sit down and talk. We'll get into his mind about dead period and this last month plus of recruiting and bowl prep. Have fun juggling that. You do as a coach in college, and Coach McBride did it well. Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Viking. Vikes got that road win in Jacksonville, so we get caught up with Searles. And Jeremiah is always awesome about outreach and giving back, and he's doing a charity function tonight in Minnesota. So not new for him. He's always given back. But we get caught up with Searles, get his thoughts on the year as it's getting crunch time for the postseason. The Vikings still in the thick of it. What a crazy NFL day yesterday. And we'll spend plenty of time on that. Not a lot of college news. Lamar won the Heisman. The NFL was okay yesterday. And then you had the 30 for 30, Catholics versus the Convicts. Loved that 30 for 30. That's kind of my wheelhouse, late 80s college football. But we begin with the recruiting world of Nebraska football. Man, this kind of came down about an hour ago. A good write-up on HaleVarsity.com by Aaron Sorensen. Robert Porche IV, our man. Robert Porche, Papa Bear, remember like it was yesterday, and it was warmer. Mm-hmm. It was the 29th of June. It was a summer camp session. And dude commits, and it was all Detroit radio that day because we had Robert Porche and Amir Abdullah on. We are out to Papa Bear, or Papa Lion, Robert Porche, the senior.
I think we even had Schlesinger on.
It was the trifecta. It was unintentional, but it was the trifecta of Detroit football. Schlesinger, Abdullah, and Porche. So we were out to Robert Porche Sr. on Junior, or Robert Porche IV's decommitment. That came down. He decommitted from Nebraska. And the reason being, Nebraska too far away for family to consistently see his games. And if that's a concern, I get that. He's out of Orlando, Dr. Phillips High School. And he's been on board. He's one of Nebraska's first on board for this class. And what concerns me here is just where you're at with defensive linemen. You're down to 14 commits. You're going to sign 22. You are chasing some ginormous fish. Chasing a couple of bigs at corner. You're chasing some offensive tackles. And you need help on the edge. If you go down the list, what do you got at defensive end right now? Well, you got Freedom for another year. You got Alex Davis that's supposed to be a freak. Cedric King has been in the program. Deshaun Neal is in the program. A.J. Natter is in the program. But you got to get some edge help because that constantly was an issue for you. If you're Nebraska this year, was getting front four pressure and not having to blitz. So you'd get creative and did what you had to do on third down. So It's not good to lose a weak side defensive end, three-star kid, 6'3", 250 pounds. What you do have right now on board, defensive line-wise, is Deontay Watts, DeAndre Thomas, both interior tackles, and then Guy Thomas. And there was some confusion to what he spoke to and said to Rivals people after his visit to Maryland. One instance said, well, I'm not going to Nebraska. The other said, yeah, I'm committing. I'm still committed to Nebraska. You're going to run with the part where you hear Guy Thomas is still committed to Nebraska because of how athletic he is off the edge and the whole Wonder Mons. I think it's Wonder Mons lineage here. I will double check that fact. But there's a player from the 70s that is close with Guy Thomas. And bottom line is that's kind of your Nebraska connection there. So you can't be losing anybody. You don't want to lose anybody. But Nebraska had somebody and was one of the last programs to have a decommitment. We kind of jinxed things. We said last week, well, Nebraska is one of 10 schools that does not have a decommitment in 2016 for the 2017 class. Well, that happened. You move forward. You try and figure it out. Maybe you reconcile. I don't know that you can change the mind here. Quoting Robert Porche IV from his Twitter message, but my family is everything to me, and I realize now that I wouldn't be happy being that far from them. I owe it to myself and my family to attend a school that's closer to home. Now, who's big time that's after Robert Porche IV, Virginia Tech, Michigan, and I know Orlando and Michigan are two different spots, but you have background in Michigan for daddy, obviously. Then you have Florida Atlantic that's there. Florida State, Miami, South Carolina, they don't have offers. Auburn, Clemson, no offers to Robert Porche IV. But you have some pretty good programs that do like him. USC, Central Florida.
I think you said Louisville.
Louisville. And Louisville's pretty good football program. So we'll see here. With Nebraska here, though, you have time. And maybe you're on to the next. Maybe it's cooled. Maybe you knew this was coming. He was here for the Oregon ball game. That's 100 years ago, it seems like. What else has gone on in recruiting? Well, the dead period has started today, but John Perella was in Louisiana going after five-star defensive tackle Tyler Shelvin. Tyler's 345 pounds.
Ooh.
And he is very talented. And Coach Perella spent time with him. He goes to Notre Dame High School there in Louisiana. So we'll see if Nebraska can twist his mind. He at least has got an official visit locked up on the 13th of January. That is some good news. Other good news, Coach Dante Williams goes to church on Sunday. It's a very Nebraska. It's
yeah.
a very Nebraska thing.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue the recruiting roundup from the weekend, four-star quarterback Thomas Graham and Dante Williams with Dante's family went to church. That's pretty cool. That was tweeted out. Now, I've heard a lot of stories, okay, from the recruiting world. I have heard of players being hidden in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico on a oil refinery before signing day. This is wild, wild west, mid-80s. Okay?
Okay.
There's a play. Yeah, you're going on a field trip out to the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, so Oklahoma and Texas A&M can't buy you. I've heard that.
Wow.
I've heard of triple matinees, where on a weekend, a kid goes to the movie house and is in the movies from like 11 to 11. Just so he's hidden.
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't sound so bad either.
No. So those are two. I've heard of a guy, maybe his name was Billy Sims at one time, being put up in a hotel with his girlfriend and an assistant coach staying next door and a car blocking the entrance to Billy and his girlfriend's hotel room. This is in the late 70s, mid-70s. And the whole weekend, there was an assistant coach assigned to babysit. right before you can sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the urban legend of Mike Rozier, where the Coffeyville junior college coach stood in the doorway and wouldn't let Coach Switzer in to see Michael Heisman.
Mm.
I mean, the you know, if you could get a book cranked out and no one would get hurt, it'd be awesome. It would be awesome. So the fact that recruiting is as big and as bad, and I mean that positively, yeah, as it is now, you can't get away with some of the stuff from back in the day. But man, how about going to church is awesome. Is awesome and sincere. And then you think about just how slimy it has been. The Eric Dickerson and the maroon Trans Am story. Mm-hmm. He might drive that Trans Am to L.A. Coliseum now. More news from a recruiting standpoint. Of course, Nebraska hosted Gavin Holmes, wideout out of Texas, Chuck Filiaga, offensive tackle, and then Isaac Slade Matitua, the middle linebacker from Hawaii. No commitments this weekend, but at least good times were had, impressions were made. Nebraska high on the importance list of all. So we'll see as you move forward. Dead period is here, and time will tell. How does Nebraska close? How do they close with Gavin Holmes? How does Nebraska close with Greg Johnson? How does Nebraska close with Thomas Graham? How does Nebraska close with Foster Sorrell? Where's Nebraska at with Darnay Holmes? Well, they didn't visit him at all the last 2 weeks. I don't know that Darnay Holmes and Nebraska are a thing, if they ever were. There's your update. There's mm-hmm. your recruiting news. And that's kind of what's on people's mind. Are you freaking out when you look at Robert Porcher, the fourth decommitting?
A little bit, just because it's an area of concern for the Husker football team. D lineman, you don't want to lose a guy like that. And I remember watching his film and, like, this guy's a 3-star. Eventually he got bumped up to a 4-star, and I think that would be more accurate. But, look, the whole recruiting thing, like, I get if a kid wants to change his mind. I just wish that they would just wait until the last day or so to decide so that they don't end up changing their mind. But that's not the way the world of recruiting works, and he has the right to choose to go to another program. If he wants to stay closer to home, so be it.
And I don't know where he's leaning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're trying to talk to Papa. It just distance is a factor. So if that's the instance, is he staying in-state in Florida? I mean, Georgia's not recruiting him either. Mm-hmm. Maybe things will shift, or at least they weren't. They hadn't offered.
Yeah.
We'll
got
see.
Some new coaches down there in Florida with Kiffin and Strong.
Yeah, we'll get into that plenty with the whole Lane Kiffin Rubik's Cube, trying to line up all the colors with him. Now, I got to ask you this, and we'll get into the coaching carousel now. Jim Harbaugh, is he long for the college football world? Interesting stuff from CBS Sports. The Rams' job is open. Jeff Fisher, yesterday, after the loss.
I'm not f***ing going 7-9, or 8-8, or 9-7, okay? Or 10-6, for that matter. This team's too talented. I'm not going to settle for that.
Now you don't have to. Two-year extension a week ago, or extension announcement fired.
Yeah. How about
whatever.
That?
Good for him. He's always said, I'm going to wear my hair long, I'm going to grow a mustache, and I'm going to lose the argument with management on quarterbacks, wherever I've been.
Yeah.
The only time he won was when he got Steve McNair. And then he had to settle for Vince Young, who he hated. He wanted not Carson Palmer. He wanted Lazy Eye. Leinart. He wanted Leinart. Because Fisher's a USC guy. Lost that battle.
Yeah.
Owner Adams said, you're taking my Texas guy. And he was stuck with Vince. Vince got him to the playoffs, actually.
Yeah, Vince had a pretty good winning percentage, and Leinart didn't really work out either.
No, so either way, it was a lose-lose.
Mm-hmm.
But now, instead of Wentz, he goes Goff.
Hey, now he'll just be, if he doesn't take another head coaching job, he'll just be tied for all-time losses with Tom Landry.
No, I know. I like Fisher. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
I really appreciate him. Pretty straight shooter. Just wasn't working out. Now, the defense he's put together, the defense he's drafted, incredible for the Rams.
Oh,
look at Aaron Donald, Joyner, the linebacking core. I mean, they're good. They're really good defensively. They're just a joke offensively. And Gurley has nowhere to run because there's no threat of the pass. I don't even care about the Rams. But what I care about and what we'll get into here in a little bit is how do the dominoes fall? How do the dominoes fall if there's another opening in Indianapolis? How do the dominoes fall here with Los Angeles being open? How does that affect a guy like Jim Harbaugh?
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect a guy like Les Miles?
Jacksonville, perhaps, too.
Yeah, I'm talking this triangle of Harbaugh, Rams, Michigan, Miles. See if it happens. Great to have you in on a Monday, the holiday Hail Mary. Your chance this hour and next. Also, a chance at a six-month HailVarsity.com premium subscription. All straight ahead. Mike Babcock on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird will be back sometime as him and the family are settling in to parenthood. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Safe driving and demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed. While driving, remember you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Let's hear from Heisman winner Lamar Jackson. And a touching moment as he was in front of the masses when he won the award and he was thanking Mama.
Mom, I love you so much, boy.
Man, it's crazy.
Hey. Thank you, Lord. I told my teammates I wasn't going to cry, by the way, but, oh, this is crazy right now.
Happy, happy guy, and he made a lot of defenses cry. Heisman voter, HailVarsity.com and magazine, historian, author, Hall of Famer. Mike Babcock joins, talk some Heisman, talk some college football at MDBabs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, except I don't deal with the cold. The older I get, the less well I deal with cold weather. Isn't that bad for a Nebraskan?
Well, here's the thing. I can honestly tell you, we had to drop Junior off at a baseball practice last night. So me and Mama were like, okay, let's go watch the end of the Seahawks game. It had well been over by then. But let's go watch the end of the Seahawks game and catch a load of the Giants Cowboys. And we park. We go to a watering hole, and we're sprinting in because of the wind, the chill. And I'm not dealing. We look at each other and like, this is nuts. So you're not alone. It's okay to complain about and really have a lot of dislike for this temperature right now. You're okay, Mike.
Okay. Well, I'll accept that then. But I don't deal with it very well.
Well, get bundled up is my best theory. Now, your thoughts on Lamar Jackson. Let's start Heisman here. And his numbers were incredible. He was in a lot of big games. They kind of faded the bit, but not through any fault of his. I know Houston kind of beat him up. But, Babbers, when you look at Lamar Jackson, the quarterback he was, and the award he got at such a young age, what's your reaction, and was he the best player you saw this year?
Because I do vote, I try to watch as many games as I can and get a sense of it. And I think that the way Louisville played it really showcased his ability, obviously. And so I think I was more skeptical of him
okay.
maybe because of that, and because I think that Louisville, you know, the way it played, I think Petrino certainly wanted to keep him on the field and get those numbers because, you know, having a Heisman winner is going to help your recruiting. And I think, you know, I feel like Louisville is one of those programs that to some degree is on the rise. You know, a handful of years ago, we wouldn't probably be talking, you know, Louisville wouldn't be in the national discussion. It was for a while this season. And I think that obviously Lamar Jackson was a big part of that. So I think I was a little more of a critical eye on him than maybe some of the other guys, but I felt like at the end of the year, to me, it was pretty clear cut what he had done, his ability as a passer and as a runner. And regardless of that Houston game when he was sacked 11 times, that's on the offensive line as much as it's on the quarterback. So I didn't let that persuade me otherwise. I thought he was a pretty clear cut choice. But you can't dismiss Deshaun Watson, what he did, and certainly the numbers for Mayfield and Westbrook. And you know, I always, as I get to this point, I always like to try to consider a guy's kind of out of the norm, you know, which I would consider Jabril Peppers that, because it's often a quarterback, and really in recent years, running backs haven't figured too prominently in there. But I thought Lamar Jackson was a well-deserved recognition that he got.
So, Mike, you have a Heisman vote, and they don't just hand those out willy-nilly to anybody. And color analyst Ed Cunningham, he abstained from voting from the Heisman this year because he couldn't decide who the best player was this year.
Really?
So,
okay, well,
you got to feel like if you have that type of vote, that you got to vote, right? Like, you got to participate, don't you think?
Yeah. Now here's the deal, and I only say this because I kind of inherited the deal from Virgil Parker, who was my sports editor originally when I worked at the Journal Star. But he was the state representative for the Heisman, and when he stepped aside, I kind of took that over. So I've been doing it for a long time, and we have, I think, in the state, I think we have 16 or 17 votes. I'd have to go back and check, count those, in addition to Johnny Rogers and Eric Crouch that don't come under, you know, they automatically vote. But one of the things that I've always used in identifying who has the vote here, because, you know, a lot of people would like to do it, is if you say you're going to do it, you need to do it. And if you have doubts about your ability to do it, or you have concerns like that, then I think that you should respectfully decline to be a voter, because it is, you know, a lot of things go into that, and it's a pretty big deal to have the opportunity to do that. And when you, I think you just make a decision based on whatever the, you know, they give you some general criteria, but I think you also apply some criteria of your own. And I think that that's kind of a cop-out to me, to say that, you know, I can't figure out which one to do. It's not easy, that's for sure. And you know, a lot of times you're going to have maybe second guess yourself, but I think that the fact that you say you want to be a voter and you have a vote, you have a responsibility to do that.
Mike Babcock with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, want to stick with the Heisman for a minute here. Do you remember what it was like covering Crouch's Heisman, also Mike Rozier's Heisman? And did you go to New York for Sue at all?
No, I didn't, in any of those cases, I didn't get to make the trip. Virgil Parker made the trip with when Rozier won the Heisman. I was not at the newspaper when Eric Crouch won the Heisman Trophy, so I didn't go then. Uh-huh. I believe when Virgil was doing it in the early 80s and before that, I think that they brought state representatives to the Heisman presentation. By the time I started doing it, they didn't do that anymore.
Gotcha.
But I think in Virgil's case, because Rozier was one of the candidates and because he was at Nebraska, he played at Nebraska, I think they paid for Virgil Parker to be there. And it might have been, I don't think it was that way. I think the newspaper paid its own expenses to send somebody to the Eric Crouch one.
Want to talk volleyball, Nebraska in the Final Four, and Babbers about 3 minutes here. As you look at Nebraska and what Coach Cook has done this year with that target on their back, defending the title so far, the miraculous comeback Friday, what are your thoughts as Nebraska heads into the Final Four here?
Well, you know, I have no great insight here, but I think it's remarkable what John Cook has done, and I think that was underscored by the match against Penn State. I mean, you think about that and think about what you've instilled in your athletes and the student athletes to be in that position where your two points, Penn State has two shots at closing that thing out and doesn't get it done. And Nebraska comes back and wins. To me, that is a remarkable story. And it underscores what John Cook has done with a program for which Terry Pettit laid the foundation. And, I think I have tremendous respect for both those coaches and what that program has become. It's remarkable. And so that's the only insight I take away from that thing is, first of all, beating any team three times in a season is difficult. Penn State makes it even more difficult. I think, you know, at this point, Penn State may be the toughest team that Nebraska plays. Mm-hmm. In this whole process. And I know number 16 seed, I thought that was inappropriate. I mean, I know they lost, what, 9 matches in the regular season or whatever to get there. But I just think that what Nebraska did in getting this far was remarkable. And I think it underscored where that program is and why it deserves the national recognition that it gets. And the fact that, you know, there's 8,000 plus fans there every match at the Bob Devaney Sports Center, and 11 o'clock match, and you got over 8,000 people there. That's remarkable.
Babbers, about 60 seconds. Are you planning on watching Catholics versus the Convicts? ESPN 30 for 30.
Yes, I am. I am, and it's ironic, you know, that. That 31-30 game, Jimmy Johnson went for two. Think about the 1984 Orange Bowl when Tom Osborne went for two. I mean, it's the same kind of. Yeah,
well, I mean, and then there was a Florida State-Florida game a while back, too, where Spurrier and Bowden, it was 31-30. They tied 31-31.
How ironic is that?
I know.
I mean, that's the thing. But, I remember that. Nebraska had its hands full with that Miami team in the Orange Bowl that year. Got 80 yards rushing in that game, in that Orange Bowl against that Miami team. And Tom, you know, basically said, if we can't run the ball, we can't win. So that's what we have to try to do. Yeah. And they didn't do it.
Well, that Miami team was crazy. That Notre Dame team, though, was a weird ball game, but I remember like it was yesterday. So we'll catch up again. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer. And with Hail Varsity. Babbers, thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Great in talking to you. Stay warm, guys.
You too, Babbers. Put that stocking hat on, brother.
Yep.
He's right. And I was whining when we started the show about it being cold in here. What do you want? It's December. I know. January. Well, there'll be new coaches from college in the NFL. We'll talk about it next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
20 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride will join us on Hail Varsity Radio also. We're on 525, your favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, will be with us. Get his thoughts on the victory over Jacksonville. Huskers headed to Tennessee. Head to Sauter-Hammond. See your friends at Sauter-Hammond. instant discounts this holiday season, and they're giving away trips, Santa Rick and Sauter Heyman. Free trips for you with qualifying purchase through December 31st. Get that little lady you love, what she really wants, and they can have it and do have it for you at Sauter Heyman. And with qualifying purchase, how about a free trip? Vegas, Cancun. See stores for details. You can log on to SauterHeyman.com. 12th and 0, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, around west in Grand Island. Okay, let's do the coaching domino thing. And Jeff Fisher is gone. Normally, I don't care. But I do care now because of the Jim Harbaugh factor. Excuse me, TJ, as I hack away here. Ask yourself this. Say you're a billionaire. Who do you hire? Money's not an object. Who do you go hire to lead your NFL team? Do you go recycle route? Do you go after a dude named Cooter that's been a good offensive coordinator in Detroit? Do you go after Shanahan? Do you raid the Monday night booth for Chucky? I'm open to suggestions. And I've not won the McDonald's Billionaire Club thing. So I'm anxious. What do you do? Because you kind of got to make a splash to matter. You either got to win or you got to bring in a sideshow act for attention in La La Land.
I think we may know a guy.
I think we do too. I think you make a phone call to Jim Harbaugh. That kind of upsets the apple cart with the rise to power with the Big Ten and all the coaches they're bringing in and how talented the rosters are getting. And I just wonder, what's the shelf life of Harbaugh in college? What is fantasy? What is reality with how long he really wants to jack around recruiting, having wrestling matches, drinking whole milk, screaming at officials,
yeah, sleepovers,
being backhanded by the commissioner in a peeing contest who's got more power and clout. Harbaugh's a weird dude who wears everyone else, and this is people I've talked to who've worked with him or have covered him. It's my eraser after taking the SAT. What started out as a nice little tip at the end of a pencil is worn down to a nub.
Yeah, he can wear people
racing.
Out.
Well, and he does.
12 years as a head coach, never been stayed longer than 4 years at that team.
Four. Say it with me. Four. And I think he's still bent that he didn't get that Super Bowl win.
Oh, for sure.
He's absolutely bent that he didn't get a Super Bowl win. He's frustrated how things ended in San Francisco. He clearly can coach and did great at San Francisco, and it was just a personnel matter with him and his boss. And now that now there's Michigan. I think he's really bothered and irritated about the Ohio State loss, first of all, the officiating, getting flagged, speaking his mind, and then having to answer it again a week ago in the teleconference where he's not backing down. And really, Harbaugh gets who he has to please, and that's the owner. Everyone else needs to walk on eggshells around him. At the university, you got your athletic director, you got your president, you got your booze, you got a bunch of crap you got to do. Oh, yeah, go sweet talk and recruit 18-year-olds, too. That can be exhausting. That's why Chip Kelly's not interested in college football anymore. And it's worse, not better, with how much butt you got to kiss in college. It just is to get the talent. It's way worse now because everyone's a freaking celebrity.
And you're likely to get paid more in the NFL, too.
Now, well, he's making $9 million at Michigan.
True, but if Stan Kroenke wants to pay up, they're talking upwards
of $10
million.
Stan can pay him $10 million. He can make the jump for $1 million more a year, go to L.A., be that splash, go after a Super Bowl, inherit a really good defense, tweak it offensively. I mean, the guy won with Alex Smith and Kaepernick.
Yeah. And Kaepernick's still there.
And they were dynamic with both.
Not the Rams, yeah.
They were dynamic with both. And then the cherry on top of this is the ability to play San Francisco twice and pummel them twice a year. But Harbaugh, I think he'll listen. I think he'll listen. I could see him making a jump. I think he's maybe sick of college already. He hadn't beaten Urban. Listen to this. He's 0-2 against against Ohio State. He's 1-1 against Michigan State. He's had some really close wins. The Iowa thing didn't help either.
Yeah. He might have beat Ohio State this year had maybe some certain refs weren't there.
Well,
we got into that.
They gave away 21 points.
They did.
They gave away 21 points. Now, the question is Harbaugh ready for L.A.? Does he even think about it? Does he wait once the Indy job is open and go get reunited with Andrew Luck, his quarterback from Stanford? I think, plus he's played at Indy, Captain Comeback. He didn't have a cape, but he was good with the Colts in the mid-90s.
Hmm.
So I think those are two options. How much does he love college? You got to ask yourself. And is Michigan freaking out right now? Now, Les Miles was supposed to go to Michigan 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 12 years ago. Didn't end up happening. Didn't end up happening. Do they kind of rekindle that? I mean, that's where he's always wanted to land. He's 62. There's a lot of talent there that Harbaugh will have left. And there's a lot of talent Harbaugh inherited from fat guy in a little coat. From Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So my grand scheme here is keep the Big Ten strong, keep Michigan with somebody of substance that's a really good coach to continue this high profile and rise. Now, has Michigan been overrated because their record isn't exactly up to par with their ranking? Maybe a little bit, but Harbaugh's been pretty big time. He's won. He's earned it. And he's getting people talking about college football and the Big Ten buzz. So I'm okay if you're Michigan and you lose Harbaugh. You got to replace him with somebody as big a name, as big a substance. And I think Les Miles would make sense. He's a big-time coach. He's wanted to be at Michigan. He didn't get hired at Houston. Now, maybe does that detract from him? So I don't know what Michigan does. I'm telling him to go get Les Miles because he's a Michigan man. Harbaugh, I think I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if he jumps to either L.A. or if it's open, and I don't know that it'll be open, Indy. I think he really looks hard at either of those jobs. That blows up Michigan's recruiting. That blows up Michigan's plan for 2017. I don't think he cares. Harbaugh cares about Harbaugh. He's quirky. He's weird. And he can have all the vitamin D milk he wants, making $10 million, not $9 million a year. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes away, Charlie McBride, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And we may have Robert Porcher Sr. momentarily. So forgive me, train of thought. So yeah, we'll try and get him rounded up next hour. Jeremiah Searles and Charlie McBride coming up. Let's do caller number 6 right now for the holiday Hail Mary. Qualify you right now. Friday, the giveaway. What you get, a Schrock Innovations window tablet 10 valued at $499, a Jet Splash car wash certificate valued at $100, and a remote car starter from Auto Sounds installed $449. Details on ESPN1480.com. 5 o'clock hour, the 16th. That is Friday. We will do the giveaway for the holiday Hail Mary right now. Caller 6 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. That's what you need to do right now. So coming up, McBride and Searles and maybe Robert Porsche Sr. on his son, Robert Porsche IV's decommitment to Nebraska. So we'll talk plenty of recruiting with Coach McBride, as in that juggling process of visits to a recruit's house, hosting visits, and also getting ready for the bowl prep. And, man, I tell you what, tons of you are going to Nashville, or you're thinking about it. I mean, the thing's almost sold out, which is huge. And I think it's going to be about 45 there. But just going to Music City is awesome. We will have Vogel on this week. That I promise you. And we'll get the Brandon Vogel tour guide explanation of Music City. I think that'd be all right. I would pay to go be given a tour by Brandon Vogel, a Hail Varsity, around Memphis. Well, Memphis is not Nashville. He could do both. Vogues could show you where Elvis and Nixon probably had a cocktail in Graceland. Then he'd show you all the good spots in Nashville. I was 7 when I went to Nashville. Call me a psycho, but I really liked Dolly Parton when I was 7. Not her music. She just stuck out to me. But Nashville the Music City Bowl. Cool. Well, we are good. Robert Porsche will be with us next hour. Excited to talk with him. Senior, Robert Porsche Sr. will be with us. Get his thoughts on his son's decommitment to Nebraska. Jeremiah Searles is on the way. And Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride is 5 minutes away. Hour 2 coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you into Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Coming up this hour, Robert Porsche Sr. will join us, and he'll share his thoughts on his son's decommitment from Nebraska. Jeremiah Searles of the Minnesota Vikings in about 25 minutes. It is time for Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride, brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. And don't be distracted. You don't like being distracted during games. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus, and they also help protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. They also protect employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans, and they've been doing so, keeping promises for 130 years. Emeritus, proud to support Nebraska, proud to bring you Charlie McBride, emeritus.com. Coach, how are we doing today?
Oh, good. I'm getting used to the dust.
Yeah?
You got to drive up and down these roads to get to my son's house, and it's all dirt roads. It's really exciting. The crew looks great.
Well, is there a speed limit on those roads?
You don't want to go too fast because they're all like moguls.
Ah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you could have some fun, but it might not be. Well, Coach, I want to talk to you this time of year. It's so busy for coaches. It's so busy for the recruiting side of things, and it's also busy for bowl prep. And let's focus there. Nebraska's been all over on the road recruiting. They've also been hosting kids, and now the dead period starts today. finals week this week also, and then you get the bowl game. How did you do it for as long as you did, as well as you did, when it came to juggling recruiting, but also getting prepped for major bowl games, for major championship opportunities? How did you juggle both?
Well, at first part, the early part, we alternated. Maybe only had two guys on defense and three on offense, and then vice versa, and guys were on the road. Then when we got, you know, when the quiet periods came, then, of course, we had the full staff, you know, ready to go. But I know that one of the things that we did, we just weren't doing well in bowl games for a stretch there, and we decided when we got there that we'd change it. Instead of having our practice in the afternoon, we tried to have it as close to morning as we could, which we did have it in the morning. So we got them up early, and they really liked it that way, because then we went to our meetings at seven, and then on to practice. And they had some food in between there a little bit, got on the bus and practiced, and then had lunch at the site. Mm. And then came home, and they're free the whole afternoon, which, you know, it's made a big difference if we started playing a whole lot better. When we did it before, the players never got a chance to do anything. I mean, it was kind of an hour here and an hour there. And this way it gave them a chance to, you know, get out on the beach or go wherever they wanted to go, downtown or whatever it was.
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, let's talk a little bit about the recruitment of a defensive lineman, specifically defensive end or interior. And how did you warm up to kids, and how did they warm up to you? What do you remember about that process of not only seeing and being wowed on film, but then just kind of getting to know them and talking to them, the process of recruiting?
Well, I think one of the things is be straight with them and let them know where, you know, what's here and what your plan is for them, a lot of them, you know, and the idea that if each position usually has a number as to how many they're going to recruit at that position. Now, there could be Superman, you know, at the end that you might add one, two, you know, if that happens. but normally each position, like 1 year we didn't recruit a quarterback, and next year we didn't recruit a tight end position. And so, you know, it went like that. And it was always harder to get defensive linemen than it was everything. So a lot of times we had to take defensive big tight ends or things like that and make defensive linemen out of them. But as a rule, it was pretty much, you know, numbers. So when you went in to talk to a kid, you give a number. We're only going to take three at your position, or two, or one, and here's who we're recruiting. And the fact is, you have a scholarship now, but if you don't commit, and somebody on that list of five commits, then we just have to tell you that it's over, you know. And I think being honest with them is pretty good, because you get a pretty good indication of, you know, where they're really standing, because most kids have two schools. They got five visits, and they all, of course, want to take all five and all that stuff. But I know that a lot of coaches really only wanted their players to take three if they could. No sense in wasting your time. And the other thing is, with parents, we try to talk to them about, that a commitment was a commitment. Yeah. And then our routine we went through with the parents, the high school coach, and everything, and they all had to agree to it. And most of it was involved not even allowing them to talk to other coaches, and including the high school, and no transcripts sent out, nothing. And because it was committed, and that was kind of the way it was. And nowadays, I think kids don't have any, you know, a commitment doesn't mean, some kids it'll mean a lot to. Some kids it just, you know, I went to this school, I liked it. Next week, this other school, I liked it better. I think I'll commit to them. And, you know, it gets to be, you know, some of them are just brain dead when it comes to what a commitment really is.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get nervous, or were you fearful if you felt like you had a kid but he wasn't ready to commit, and he was going on a visit to say a Colorado or an Oklahoma or a Miami? I mean, how was the stress level for you?
It sucked. I had a kid down in Tennessee, and he ended up coming, and I thought he was going to be a great player. He was a bust, but I met he and another coach, and I were there at 7 a.m. to sign him, and at the front door.
Wow!
And we had to go in and find out who did that. I took Coach Osborne down to Kansas City on a linebacker, and the kid actually he went to Texas. And both the head coaches at the time were there. Tom was there, and the head coach at Texas was there. And the kid came out of the bedroom, out of the kitchen, and was smiling at Tom and everything. And he said, "I've decided to go to Texas." Tom about, because it was one of those commitment deals where the kid had committed. Yeah, and so and that's just that's just part of the thing. But that didn't happen a lot. It happens mostly when they don't have guidance at home or their high school coaches. Some of them encourage them to take all the visits, get as much as you can. It's a different kind of way of doing things. But a lot of kids have never been in a lot of places, so that a lot of the high school coaches, take them all. But, I think if you commit to a school along the way, we trust them. How important it was, because you're taking a kid's scholarship away at that position if you do commit to another school. And and now we're in we're not in good shape, because we've told kids no, so
right.
You kind of got to be touchy in that area, and you just have to feel your way through it. I think a commitment from the parents is a big thing, not only from the player.
Charlie McBride, a few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, over the weekend, after the Heisman ceremony, there was another 30 for 30 by ESPN, and it centered around the Miami-Notre Dame rivalry, the Catholics versus the Convicts is what it was titled. There was a pretty infamous T-shirt made back in 1988. Barry Alvarez was defensive coordinator, of course, of Notre Dame in 88, and I wanted to ask you, did you ever recruit Chris Zorich? He's a Chicago kid, isn't he?
Yeah, we did. I talked to him, but he was all set. I mean, he was, he had committed almost as a junior. He's a single parent, and he wanted to be close to home.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much, and there wasn't even, I wouldn't argue with any of that stuff. I mean, that's a personal thing, and he and his mom are very, very, very close, of course. And but that's a lot of them. When you go in, Fitzgerald was a coach at Northwestern. I recruited him, and he said he wanted to stay home, in that area with his parents. And I think his dad was, had a job that he couldn't travel on the weekends and stuff like that. So a lot of that stuff is, pretty cut and dry right away. They're honest with you. Their high school coaches is kind of interesting. Being in Chicago, I don't think I ran into a coach that wasn't straight up and with you and with the head coach and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of areas that take pride in their program and take pride in how it's run, and they don't want people running negative stuff on them. So I think, you get in and say, especially in the Catholic League in Chicago, if you commit, boy, you're committed. Okay. I mean, that's the end of it. you have to, you didn't really have to be something to change the commitment. And, but normally that's a lot of areas are that way. Real solid programs in Dallas is a lot that way. Dallas was, when you committed, that was pretty much it. So it just depends on the area a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into Georgia, Alabama, and some of that stuff, it could go forever. I mean,
it could sway.
I mean, the kid the Cardinals drafted last year from Ole Miss that was, he's kind of not a bust yet, but he may be headed that way. But he's got all the tools in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But learning the stuff was probably his hardest thing he had to do, and that's hard for rookies to, you're making the calls in the middle of while the quarterback's calling stuff, and you gotta switch your brain fast.
Yeah.
And that's hard for young people to do that.
Coach, what do you remember about Coach Holtz, and what do you remember about Coach Jimmy Johnson that 19? Because you guys ended up playing Miami in the Orange Bowl. You were right up there in the rankings with Notre Dame and Miami that year.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was pretty great era in college football, the late 80s.
Yeah, you know, some coaches are strict. Like I know for a fact that Coach Holtz, if you bend his ear the wrong way, you're not going to play.
Right.
And, you know, and that's pretty much, I remember he went to Arkansas, and I think he had two or three backfield positions that kids, and they didn't play in the game, and they still won. So it was kind of proof to a lot of people that, you know, you're not the only thing we have here. You do something like that, you don't care. Yeah. You don't care about your teammates or your program. So he did that. Now, it may have been a little different with Jimmy. You know that he was a pro coach in the college ranks. I mean, if you could play, you played. And you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, messing around. You know, I mean, even at Oklahoma State, it was. You know, there were some things, you know, you thought maybe were, you know, not straight up a lot of times, but mm-hmm. never anything serious, I don't think. But it's always kind of on the edge.
Yeah, and those two really got after each other, it looked like, in that documentary. They wanted to beat each other's brains in. And
that's the sad thing about a game like this, and especially – You want the players to go to a game, and I know when we played Michigan, for example, and we played Arizona State, our kids got together, you know, and some, you know, out when they were out at night doing mm-hmm. things, and they, you know, I mean, all our guys' shoes were gone, and they were wearing Michigan guys' shoes. They were switching equipment around and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but you know, that's part of the thing where they had fun doing it, and you know, they had it all. You know, you didn't get their new shoes or anything. You got their beat-up stuff, but they were, you know, switching shoes and shirts and all kinds of stuff, which was kind of, I thought, kind of neat.
Yeah, and that's kind of how you want moving forward to be respectful with one another. Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll give you a shout next week, get caught up, and talk a little more Tennessee, Nebraska. How's that sound?
That'll work. I can do that.
That'll be good, Coach.
That's Tennessee. That's the university, right?
That's exactly it, the University of Tennessee.
Okay.
Well, Coach, you have
a do it.
Good rest of your week. Thanks for a few minutes.
You too. Thank you
Take
for
care,
having
Coach.
Me. Talk to you later.
See you, Coach. Bye. I like his perspective there on the Irish and the Hurricanes. And you want to talk about a guy who screams Charlie McBride type players, Chris Zorich on that interior. So. Coming up, we'll get a hold of Jeremiah Searles, the starting right tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, former Husker standout. Searles has got such a big heart. He is doing some charity fundraising later tonight in Minneapolis, so that's pretty awesome. Zipline Brewing. Zipline, great folks here. And we want to encourage you to go check out Zipline this holiday season. It's been brewing in Lincoln, and they have just so many different beers. One for your taste. 40 different beers, a nationally recognized IPA, gold medal winning Copper Alt, and of course the new beer hall at 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln, open Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 6, and 24 taps, neighborhood bar, community tables. If you're making your way to Lincoln this holiday season, find out about Zipline in their tap rooms on West O or the South 56th and Pine Lake location. And do yourself a solid. Get some Zipline no matter where you're at in Nebraska. Six packs across the state. Zipline on draft at your grocery store or bottle shop. And find time for a Zipline tonight. Zipline Brewing, ziplinebrewing.com.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, new Papa Jay is taking family time, much deserved. It's TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, thanks to Coach McBride. And we head up to Viking land. Our favorite Viking, starting right tackle, former Husker, Jeremiah Searles, at Searles71_HSKR, joins us. And Jeremiah is all about outreach and giving back. And tonight he is going to be helping out and raising money for the Children's Hospitals and Clinics of Minnesota because he's a good dude. Merry Christmas, Mr. Searles. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Good to be back on the show. It's been a little while.
It has been. You've been kind of mauling defensive linemen and getting wins. So you've been busy.
Trying. It's been a crazy last month or so.
I would say so. So take me through the roller coaster, man. Not just yours, but the team's, because you're still in the thick of a playoff chase, but it's different than the start of the year when it comes to record, right?
Yeah, I mean, so we started off tonight really hot, 5-0 going to the bye, and then we've been struggling since. I mean, we're sitting at 7-6, which, like you said, still in the thick of the playoff hunt. But it's been a lot of what's the word I'm looking for here? Adversity, so to speak, to go through. We've had some injuries. We've had guys go down. We've had guys step up. And it just seems like, I mean, even our coach had to miss the game, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just been one of those things where it just seems like right when you start to feel yourself get ahead of something, something else happens. But it's good. We're sticking together as a team. We're finding ways. We went down to Jacksonville. They're 2-11, but, I mean, they have a top-10 defense. And we were able to go out there and score some points on them. So it felt good to get back on the winning side.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Minnesota Vikings get the win in Jayville. Now, it was kind of like a home road game, wasn't it? Was there just a ton of purple on hand to watch you guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a ton of purple there. We were running out of the tunnel beginning of the game. We were looking across. And they even got the skull chant going, which I'm sure you've seen on the TV a couple times. And it was it was kind of cool to see, and it was really fun to see all those guys down there. I mean, when it was on third down for them, it was loud, and it was fun to see all the Vikings fans down in South Florida.
So I heard with Coach Zimmer back, you know, kind of working with that eye patch, a lot of players were, you know, calling I captain. Were you one of those guys?
I was not one of those guys. I try not to make fun of the head coach as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. How has he handled this situation, though? Has he tried to keep things as normal as possible?
Yeah, I mean, he's tried to do everything in his power. I mean, it killed him to not be able to coach that Cowboys game, being he played for the coached for the Cowboys. And then, I mean, he really, really wanted to be there, and we wanted him there, and we were upset with ourselves. We couldn't pull it out for him. But he's business as usual. I mean, he comes in to work, and he does whatever he has to do to coach, because he knows that we're going to do whatever we have to do to play. And it's good to have your leader and your focal point of your team show the guts and the resiliency that coach has shown, because it allows us to really know that he's fighting for us as much as we're fighting for him.
A few minutes, Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Minnesota Viking, former Husker. Now, is there any friendly or unfriendly banter that goes on when you're lined up against a guy like Malik Collins or another former Husker that's on the defensive side of the ball?
Not during the game. I mean, after the game, it's fun to catch up, or even a little bit before the game, just to say hello. And it's fun to catch up and chat with guys like that. Like, for example, I got to chat with Prince a little bit after the game.
That's what I thought,
last game. And I was messing with Malik when I caught him jumping in the neutral zone. I tapped him on the head, and he was like, gosh dang it, Searles. And I was just kind of laughing. And, but, I mean, it's fun to see guys that you played with in college and know that they're doing well and you're doing well. And you just continue growing in your football careers, and it's fun. It's really fun to see those guys.
Well, how are you doing? Because you've been able to play both guard spots, both tackle spots. You've been at center. The O-line's been dinged. You've played hurt, brother, because you've gotten rolled up on a couple of times. Can you put into words how difficult it's been, not just for you, but your line mates, to keep surging forward? Because it's one thing to go play and be in that 4-hour car accident that is an NFL game. But when you're injured, it's even more difficult. Have you guys stayed strong mentally?
Mentally, I mean, we all know that all of us are out there battling. And, like, all of us have something that hurts. And at this point in the season, I don't think there's anyone on an NFL roster that's considered healthy. I mean, at this point in the season, you've been banged around between camp and practice and 13 games now. And you know that playoff pushes are made in December. I mean, you got to win games in December in order to get the playoffs and get a chance to play. And just all you want is a ticket. You don't care how you get it. You don't care where you are. You just want a ticket to the playoffs, because after that, anything can happen. So we all are really focused on that, and we're all really focused on that this is the same team that started 5-0, and that it's the same team that can finish 4-0 and make a push into the playoffs.
Hey, Searles, a guy I'm curious about who you play on the offensive side with is Adam Thielen, who played Minnesota State, local guy. What's he like on and off the field? Is he just like the ultimate practice guy and then just super
Absolutely.
Humble off it?
Yeah, Adam's a great guy. I mean, he's really come into his own in finding what works for him. And I mean, I saw an interview with Sam Bradford after one of the games, and someone asked him, said, like, when you got traded to Minnesota, did you even know who Adam Thielen was? And he goes, can I choose not to answer that? So, I mean, it's just a guy that just comes to work, and he just puts his head down and just does anything that's asked of him. And he's really, I mean, he's become a rival number one receiver with Stephon Diggs. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that Bradford's becoming comfortable throwing to him, and we know that when he gets the ball in his hands that he can do some special stuff too as far as receiving-wise. And he's become a really good threat to have out there. I mean, we have a really good group of receivers with him, Diggs, Cordero, and then Kyle Rudolph is having a phenomenal year as well.
Searles, did you see the video of Will Compton in Iowa gear?
I didn't. I'm going to have to find that.
Yeah. Sheriff, the offensive tackle from Iowa, I think had a bet with Will. Will had to get on video in Iowa gear after Black Friday. Yeah. How did you – I know you were in meetings and getting ready, but I'm sure you kept an eye. How did you process Friday, that loss to Iowa?
That was a tough one. To be honest with you, I didn't get a chance to really watch it because we played on Thanksgiving.
Right.
So we were in the next day. And anytime you lose to Iowa, it's just not fun. I mean, for anyone involved, I mean, I get to hear from Chad Greenway for the next however long the rest of the season is, and he just refuses to let me live it down. And then now I get to hear from Marcus Sherrills and all the Minnesota guys how they went to a better bowl game than us. And it's just like, God, if we could have just beat Iowa. Like, everything would have been so much better if we could have just beat Iowa. But what's nice about it is I do think it is becoming a rivalry.
Okay, so
as much as it was forced upon the Nebraska faithful, I think it is somewhat becoming a bit of a rivalry.
So, are you just taking a lot of heat in the locker room for a 9-3 season?
Oh yeah,
really?
I am. I'm taking a ton of heat, mostly because everyone hates Nebraska, and I don't know why. I really don't. But everyone just hates on Nebraska constantly. Like, I have one of my good buddies. He went to Toledo, and he never shuts up about how Toledo would beat Nebraska.
Wow. It drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah, bold statement by him. And we always say, yeah, but no one watches you play on Tuesdays, so it's fine.
No one would see it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Nebraska-Ohio metric, I don't know. Sometimes that doesn't quite get along. Hey, I saw reports AP went on a radio station up in Minnesota today. He hopes to be back to practice this week. How much late in the season would that invigorate your locker room?
I mean, if we could get that guy back, I mean, he's just so special. I mean, he's just – I've never seen anything like it before in my life. I mean, if he can come back, I think it would give us hopefully an offensive boost in the running game. And I mean, it just could really help us. But at the same time, we need to make sure that he comes back and doesn't hurt himself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a guy like AP, who's so special, but he's also, I mean, he's getting up there in age. And so I think it'll be important for him to get back. I mean, because you can feel as great as anything, but until you actually put the pads on, put your head down and run. I mean, so I think this week I'm hoping he can come back and do really, really well to practice and everything. We give him a chance to get back out there on the field.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Searles, got about 3 minutes here. You are on your way to the first annual Autographs for Kids charity event with the Children's Hospitals of Minnesota. Tell me a little bit about this cause, what you're doing. You've always been so gracious with giving back.
Yeah, I think this is a great thing to do. I mean, so Kyle Rudolph leads up a lot of stuff for the Minnesota Children's Hospital. Halloween, Christmas, and Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, a group of guys go down there and we go see all the kids in the Children's Hospital. And I think I'm actually going again on Tuesdays, our Christmas one. And so I've gone down twice for that. And it's just such a great cause to be able to go down there. And you know, when you're in pain, like, and you got a knee or an ankle or something's hurt, you go down and you see these 9-10-year-old kids fighting leukemia or fighting, I mean, they're sitting there getting dialysis. It really puts things in perspective is how hard things really could be. And so anytime I get a chance to give back or get a chance to outreach and bring awareness to this type of stuff, I try and jump on as much as I can.
Any kids you've connected with, I mean, you're gracious with your time and you're very caring for them, but is there a little guy or gal up there that that you're keeping in touch with?
Not as much, no. I mean, there's a few people that we follow each other on Twitter, or we do that, but not as much of the connection aspect. I mean, I think a lot of those guys are just so gracious that we just come down there and
sure.
Spend our time with them and just the parents do. The parents love the fact that we get to come down there, and it kind of gets to show those guys that there's a different side of us besides just the helmet and running into each other aspect.
Well, that's awesome. Jeremiah, enjoy tonight and with the charity and the fundraising with Minnesota Children's. Keep doing your thing, man. We're proud of you. We love watching you, and we're so happy for your success. And I know TJ and I are going to put the old purple hats on and hope you guys get in the postseason. We're excited for you.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. I'm back in town this offseason. We'll have to grab a drink or something.
That'd be good. Be good, Jeremiah. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Take care. Jeremiah Searles with us, Hale Varsity Radio. And Searles is awesome. And he's done a lot of outreach and Tyson's Treasures this summer, for sure. And of course, the time being spent with parents and family and kids up there at Minnesota Children's. But I am, I guess I'm not shocked that Nebraska might be a pinata in the locker room because they've been good for so long. And you're still good at 9-3, but if you've got poor Compton having to do the Iowa thing on camera,
mm-hmm.
that hurt him. Greenway getting in there on Searles, and then his buddy from Toledo.
And Toledo fan.
A little Mac smack. It's no good. No bueno. Ouch. Well, good to get caught up with Searles, and AP could be back this week.
That'd now, be a big lift.
He's a used Lexus, but it's a used Lexus with minimal miles. Not on the injury side, but we're talking the last 4 years, there's been two of which there's been a lot of mileage. 2 years, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and dare say he's a young, early 30s running back. Okay, Nebraska lost Robert Porcher IV to a decommitment today. Robert Porcher Sr., his father, joins us next to talk about that decommitment. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Viking Jeremiah Searles. We welcome in a former standout Detroit Lion, multiple-time Pro Bowler, Robert Porcher, back with us on the show. Robert, thanks for the time, sir. How are you?
Okay. I'm hanging in there, man. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Thank you for jumping back on with us. Robert, we spoke back in June, the 29th, when your son, Robert Porcher IV, committed to Nebraska on Twitter today, sent out a message saying he is decommitting to Nebraska, wants to stay close to home. Can you kind of take us through the process of deciding to look around and stepping back from Nebraska?
It's Robert's decision because at the end of the day, he has to play. He has to go to school there, and he just kind of thought about it. And the thing that I like that he does is he runs things by me and wants to get my opinion on it. And, as a father, as an ex football player, I try and lay out to him, just all of what I think he is actually thinking and the things that he needs to consider. And then I always ask him to, take a little time and think about it and think about it some more and think about it a little bit more. And then if you feel, a certain way, then, hey, you go with your decision. And, we called Coach Pirelli on yesterday, and he just told him that he wanted to. He didn't want to come out again, just because. Robert is close to his family. Of course, I have never missed any of his games since he started at 8. I wouldn't have a problem missing. I won't miss any of them moving forward. His mom, my father, my parents. His grandparents on his mom's side. We are always there. Well, especially his mom and me and. My father's at all the games, too. So he just said he didn't want to go that far because he wanted to be closer to home and he wanted to be somewhere where everybody you know, could get there. And I understand that. I definitely understand that. And, you know, when he told me about it maybe a week or so ago, he was thinking about it. I said, well, just think about it a little bit more. And you still got the state championship game. And he wanted to just focus on that. And after the game was over on Saturday night, we actually lost by 4 points, which sucked. But he, Sunday, he just said, Dad, I thought about it, and that's what I want to do. So we called Coach Pirelli, spoke to him, and, you know, Rob told him his reasoning, and, you know, Coach gave him some really good points of things to consider. And then he spoke with, you know, Coach Riley, of course, last night, too. So I personally told him I thought he should just wait till National Signing Day. But he said, no, he didn't want to do that. He said that, I thought he should wait and just make his decision then. But he said, nope, he didn't want to do that. He just thought enough of Nebraska and the football staff and, you know, everybody. He said he just wanted them to know so they could make whatever preparations they need to. And, you know, maybe there's somebody else that they were considering that now they can. So I admire that because, to be honest with you, I just said, hey, man, that's just part of it. Mm-hmm. Lots of kids decommit, lots of kids change schools, and sometimes coaches change schools too. I mean, that's a part of the process. But he said nope, he didn't want to do that. He wanted them to know because he said they'd just been too good to him. So I definitely respect that, and you know, that's pretty much it.
What was Coach Pirelli and Riley's reaction to the news?
You know what? I was not. I didn't speak. I wasn't there.
You weren't on the call
when he spoke to Coach Riley last night. But yesterday I was there, and you know, Coach Pirelli, he understands. I mean, of course, you know, he wants him there, and I understand that. And you know, he's a father too, and he understands where he is from that standpoint. But you know, he's given him the great points on Nebraska, which, I mean, of course, as you know, we already know that, mm-hmm. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think he, just like you said, he just, you know, it's something, man, to be away and be that far away. And, you know, some kids are okay with that. And, you know, he thought he was okay with that, but, you know, now he's not. And I told him that is okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, so.
Robert Porcher with
That's
us here on Hail Varsity Radio. His son, Robert Porcher IV, decommitting from Nebraska, but we're kind of getting filled in as to what each side thought of the other, meaning how much respect there is for Nebraska from your son and yourself, and also vice versa. I mean, Nebraska wants your son, but also very understanding about the situation. As far as schools that are kind of on the radar now, are there – a couple that are closer to home that he may be thinking about?
You know what? I mean, of course, to be honest with you, Chris, there's been a lot of folks calling, but that's always been the case. I mean, that hasn't just picked up or anything. So he, you know, this is just the first day of it. And, you know, he's just kind of for the first time since started in August of this year, you know, just kind of chillaxing at home and and taking it easy. And, you know, I just told him, hey, man, same thing I would do when the season's over, take the first week off. Don't do anything. Don't think anything about football. And then next week, it's time to slowly get back into it and go from there. So that's what he's doing. You know, he's just going to the soccer game in the high school. His high school soccer game. His girlfriend is on the team there, so he's going to watch the game, and you know that's all he's doing. So I think in another weekend, you know, we'll really kind of start to look at it a little bit. But you know, right now I told him just be happy that you got through the season injury free.
Yeah.
And you know, we had the thumb. He had the thumb surgery right before the season started, and he was able to get through that, and that not raise any issues with him. So when you can get through a high school season, a college season, and a professional season unscathed, that's a blessing in itself.
It is.
Just want him to take a week off and just just chillax, man. Just relax.
Robert, I have about 20 seconds, and thanks for giving us time today. Is the door closed on Nebraska?
It's not my decision.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying your gut. What's your gut say? Is it closed?
You know what? I really don't know. I don't know. Okay. To be honest with you, I don't know. When we came up there in June, you know, I was one who told him when he said that, I think this is the one. I was like, man, just wait. Just wait. I was just wait for this season. So,
well, I mean,
you know, he's 18 and hey. But I like it there. I know he likes it there. The people are great there. But, I mean, as you know, man, kids are young.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Robert Porsche. Robert, best to you. Thanks for a few minutes.
We'll
be in touch again, man. Take care.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Robert Porsche with us. Insight into the decommitment from Robert Porsche IV. And thanks to Pops for giving us a few minutes. We'll wind down a Monday on Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Got a busy one today. Much thanks to Robert Porsche Sr. and his insight to his son's decommitment. Again, he was straight up about, it's not my son's decision. I mean, not his decision, it's my son's decision. And you got to look, see as into the process of it. And Robert Porsche IV just really loved Coach Riley and Coach Perella. Thought a ton about him, but just really didn't want to get far from home. And that was explained pretty accurately and eloquently by his dad. Didn't know where the next stop will be, but he's just thankful his son got through the year healthy. And Robert Porsche's good dude. Always been good to us. So thanks so much to him for, yeah, that's a touchy subject. And I think he's stressed a little bit about it. And he just wants the best for his boy. And if you're Nebraska, you had a phone call that was made yesterday to Coach Perella by Robert Porsche IV and Senior also on the phone call. So Nebraska will try and figure things out defensively. Another defensive end spot. Huge position of need. And you know Coach Perella is going to go after it and try and find some difference makers. So thanks to Coach McBride today. Talked a lot of recruiting with him. Jeremiah Searles, starting right tackle for the Vikings. Love to get caught up with Searles. And he is a great dude. And things going well for Minnesota. Big win yesterday for them. So that was important. Mike Babcock with us to talk some Heisman voting and thoughts on the season when deciding who and where to vote for the Heisman. So good stuff there. Let's get folks qualified now for the Holiday Hail Mary. I have too many papers in front of me here. Holiday Hail Mary, caller 6 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. You have the Schrock tablet, the Jet Splash car wash certificate, and the automatic car starter from Auto Sounds. Caller 6, 1-800-825-5865, 466-3776. Caller 6 now for the Holiday Hail Mary, that giveaway Friday. Caller 7 will get a 6-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. There are no losers. Caller 6, Holiday Hail Mary qualification. Caller 7, HailVarsity.com. 6-month premium online subscription. So Caller 7 gets that premium content for you. Message board community, second to none. Insider info, recruiting analysis, up-to-the-minute breaking news. Caller 7 for the HailVarsity.com 6-month subscription. Premium online caller 6 will get the Hail Mary, the Holiday Hail Mary. Busy one tomorrow. Mitch Sherman will be with us. Rick Pizzo with us. Maybe Lou Holtz. We're working on Sweet Lou. Sweet Lou's busy. But maybe Lou Holtz. All right. Tomorrow, find us at 4. Take care. Stay warm. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.